Afternoon Drive with John Matham
on Cape Talk.
I read day before yesterday a very interesting opinion piece by independent educational consultant Dr. Louis Benjamin, asking the question and in large part answering it in the unfortunately yes. The question is, South Africa losing human potential because of cognitive stunting of children? Louis, a very good afternoon. Thanks for your time.
Hi, John. Good afternoon.
Perhaps we can start by your defining cognitive stunting. I think we all have a broad idea of what you mean by that, but let's be precise.
Yeah, okay, great. A good place to start. Well, in very basic terms, it would be limiting their cognitive abilities right from the very onset and not maximizing their potential development or their developmental potential. So that would imply that right from the get-go, children are not being stretched or challenged and given enough enrichment and stimulation in order to, you know, to start those basic cognitive processes from kicking in. So that's very broadly what I've referred to. So, in other words, when we look at children when they start in school, which I mainly do, right at the very beginning, we see sometimes that they are 2 and 1 year behind the average child, in inverted commas.
And, of course, like so many things in South Africa, this is not a global problem. It is a problem of the poor, primarily, almost exclusively.
Yeah, primarily, but not exclusively, absolutely. You know, as much as we can find very similar patterns, in fact, in diverse socioeconomic environments. In fact, you know, the phenomenon of a latchkey child who comes from more enriched and privileged circumstances can present exactly like a child who's coming from a disadvantaged, understimulated environment.
But primarily, the more resources are available, and that's human resource and, you know, structural resource, material resource, the more that is available and the more people are trained to use that material properly, the more stimulated children are, the less cognitive stunting there is.
Yes, exactly. And, I mean, there's also that associated aspect of nutrition, and a lot of work has recently been done in that area, and absolutely. So children who are coming from those communities and environments, and that's where the mainstay of our work is where we find these children with these massive cognitive delays and lags right at the beginning. And I'd put that in parentheses, the delays, because as much as we're speaking about that, to start to stimulate cognitive growth and development is something we can do. Obviously much better if we try to do it early on.
Yeah, and the earlier the better, surely. And again, it's not exclusively a problem of the poor, because there are some wealthy middle class parents who are so wrapped up in their own lives that they basically abandon the cognitive stimulation of their children, leave that to other people, to play schools and so on. But again, the earlier you start and the more cognitively rich the environment in which you start, the better the cognitive development.
100%, and an important aspect of that for us would be language, and the language used in the environment that children are growing up in, and therefore also at school, trying to stimulate that language. So a lot of emphasis on we would attach to language and the development of language, and children be in a position to develop the formal conceptual language they need for school learning. So this is other language, not the day-to-day language. And this is often seen as the biggest barrier when children start learning at school. They're just not processing the instructions that they're given, mainly because they haven't been exposed before. So quite right. You know, the environments are not enriched, and often this is multi-generations of deprivation. So, you know, there's been no modeling of the kind of things that we would see day-to-day of our parents doing to us, and they've just not been exposed to it. And so remarkably, once we can start to take teachers and parents through these processes, we can see them starting to do these kinds of things with their own children and with their learners at school.
Yeah, so
in some way it's not too difficult.
This is a reversible issue. I mean, we have, you know, we have 70% of youth over the age of 18 who've left school either at 12 or at 14 or at 18 with whatever educational achievement they have attained, with no jobs and very little ability to get anything other than the most menial jobs, because that cognitive stunting is very much part of their lives. But if you start early enough, it is something that can be reversed reasonably easily, or is that being a bit optimistic?
No. I think you're spot on. The longer we wait to do these kind of cognitive interventions, the more difficult and the more intensive it is, and the more specialist and specialist skills you would need to do it. But the earlier on you start, we work with grade R teachers who are traditionally the least trained in the whole teaching workforce, and they are able to learn how to do cognitive modification of children, and I work mostly with government, who are able to pick it up and to get going straight away. And some of the work I see is on par with the best practitioners, you know, anywhere, even in the private sector. So absolutely. But the longer you wait, for sure, the more difficult it's going to get, and the more resource heavy it's going to be for the country. But,
because I mean, you know, a lot of people look at the youth bulge in a place like Africa and say there's an enormous amount of potential here. If we could have cognitively developed, properly educated, properly motivated young people, if they were all in work, I mean, it's a huge opportunity. But unless you do this stuff, it becomes a major problem to have this large group of young people who are milling around with nothing meaningful to do with their lives.
Absolutely. I think some of the problem is a kind of fixed mindset that you either got it or you don't have it. A fixed idea of what intelligence of cognitive ability is. And I think this is largely owing to the IQ movement and the standardized testing that became very popular, and very detrimental effects and pervasive and still in our thinking that we would categorize children into different groups, ability groupings. And the whole understanding today in cognitive psychology and neuropsychology is that cognition is largely modifiable and changeable throughout life, including in old age.
Thank you very, very much indeed. That last is a very hopeful sentence. Dr. Louis Benjamin, independent educational consultant.